a farmer by the name of Joel Salatin. Some of you may be aware of him, heard of him. He is not just a farmer, he is a speaker around the world. And he seems to lend himself back to the old ways of doing things. In consideration of our, you know, the way our foods are grown and processed and things like this. Maybe you've seen the videos of the, you know, the chicken houses full of chickens, walking on chickens, standing on chickens, pecking on chickens, and people going through and workers and throwing out the ones that didn't make it because of the conditions. And a lot of people aren't aware of those, but they are becoming more and more aware of this. But that's not what I'm going to talk about. There's a statement he makes that comes back to me from time to time. He raises pigs, among other things, but he talks about honoring the pigginess of the pig. Okay? And so when you think about that for a minute, you'd think, well, a pig is a pig. Well, I could tell you some stories, but, well, I will tell you a story. My brother lives in Nebraska, and he got married to a gal who raises pigs for a season of time. So she gets them at a certain age, and then she has to send them off at a certain age. She only has them for, I don't know, so many weeks, but she has 30,000 pigs at a time. It's in their younger years, okay? But so she had them, and so we went by just to say hi at the place where she worked in this building. It was long and narrow, but you know, it was maybe three of the lengths of this room, maybe this wide, and had 30,000 pigs in it. Wow. Interesting. And a lot of them get sick, and they don't make it. And some of it's due to the conditions, okay? And so this is one of the reasons why Joel Salatin and Polyface Farms, their approach to raising animals for consumption is for the cow to be more like a cow, the pig to be more like a pig, in other words, and the chicken to be more like a chicken. In other words, God, who created these things, created them to be in a way, a certain way. And so he designed the animal. Just like God created man, he created the animal. Now, this isn't a lesson on animals, okay, or on pigs. But the idea, I want us to think about that for a minute. Our Creator had a perfect design, a divine design, some would call it. His design. And the Bible says that he created a male and he created a female. And so with purpose, he designed the male and the female distinctly different. All right? We're going to get to this in a little bit here, but I didn't want to really start here, but I guess we're here. I was walking to my apartment the other night. There's a little trail that they've created. It's a nice fenced trail with a cement sidewalk from Fred Byers to my apartment. That's a little dark, but you can see far enough, and you know, it feels safe to me. And so I'm walking down this sidewalk, and I see somebody has entered at the other end. Now, it's kind of dark, and they're in dark clothing. And so this looks to be the figure of a man coming down this dark alleyway. And as I'm approaching, yeah, sure enough, that's a man. Until I got 4 feet away. She was pretty. And she spoke. When I said hi, she said, hi. Those were the only two indicators that I could tell that was a woman and not a man. The only two. Nothing else of what I saw gave me any indicator that was a woman. Now, are you ready? Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 2, at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Here we are, January the 1st, 2020. Fresh start. Have you ever concluded at times, you know, I got this habit, or there's this thing that I wish I'd stop doing that. I wish I'd stop saying that. I'd wish I'd stop saying it that way. Well, here we are, January 1, fresh start. Okay? I think a week or two ago we talked about the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us. But we also have to become a part of the solution to our problems. So we have a fresh start. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also are as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, darkness was the world that we lived in. Darkness is all around us because the world is all around us. Have you ever noticed that Paul's writing to the churches like the one in Corinth? They had some issues. Do you think those issues started in their church? Or were there things about their culture that's just the way it had always been? Or because their forefathers and their grandfathers and their fathers and their mothers. It was a way of life to them. Yet when they came to God and they were redeemed by His blood, there were things that were existing within the fellowship that much of Paul's writings, he was dealing with their life situations, letting them know in the world that was all right. And maybe it was normal to you, but it's not here. And so he wrote in an endeavor to change their process of thinking, the windshield that they looked out of life at, and their own circumstances. I read an interesting article about a week ago. It was dealing with health problems, abnormalities that had a very high scale among certain people. In some of these situations, there were large groups of teenagers laying in hospitals as they attempted to sustain them, not knowing what to do with them. And they had all come out of a small group of homes in a community in a city. Now, they had practices that in order to maintain properties, values, their flocks, and not let them get outside of there. They had their kids marrying their cousins. They arranged the marriages. You're marrying that one. You're marrying that one. And so within their practice, they have a tremendous health problem now. And so they are attempting to bring some kind of intervention. Now here's the problem. They shut everybody out. This is our world. This is our society. This is how we do things. This would be very similar to what took place at Corinth. This is the way we did. This is what we were taught. This is how it's always been. Until a letter is written by an apostle that is the word of God sustained. And so there are things that we may view in our life. Look, what do you mean that? What do you mean? How can you? Why are you? This is the way it's always been. Oh, that's ridiculous. That was like when the pastor's wife came to me and said, "We don't date outside the church." And I was sarcastic and said, "Well, maybe you don't." Because I'd never heard that before. Well, how do you expect to win the lost? Well, my sisters proved how not to do that. And so my thinking had to change. It was important for my thinking to change. And this is why it's important for us to spend time in the Word of God to let it address us. Let it address our situations. Let it address our thought processes. Verse 10. Go back and read verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. I don't know why. I wasn't a believer. But when I would see that magazine sitting on the coffee table called 17, you thought I was going to say Playboy, didn't you? Because I watched my younger sister only to realize she couldn't be any of that. And eventually, to kill the pain with alcohol, it ended up taking her life. And I'm telling you, in my heart of hearts, I remember having a conversation in my house about it when I became a believer. When we were constantly communicating about the challenges in our family and the situations that people were facing, and I wondered, but why don't we do anything about this stuff? Why don't we speak up? Why don't we say anything? Oh, that's ridiculous. That has nothing to do with it. That's ridiculous. Abstain. I beseech you. To abstain from fleshly lusts. That's cravings of the flesh. That's not just I'm hungry for a certain kind of food. It's the pride of life. There's things that, you know, feed our fleshly mind that bring us into a direct contradiction with the Word of God. And this is why the challenge comes in living for God. Some the older guys, they would have said it this way. Get on one side of the fence or the other. When you're riding the fence, you're like Paul talking of the war in your members. The flesh against the spirit against the flesh. And so, let's pray. Your word is right. Your word is true. It is forever settled, Father. I want to come into agreement, Father, with everything that you believe and speak and teach me. I want to agree. I want my life to agree. I want to resist my own temptations and desires and bring them into subjection. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I thank you for strength. I thank you for grace. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Okay, ask yourself the question. Don't raise your hand. Don't look at me. Do you struggle driving 70 miles an hour or less on the freeway? Don't look at me. Don't twitch. You know, they have this little button on most cars now. It turns it on, and then you got to set it. Man, what peace of mind. 68, 69, not 73. You know, what's the allowable? What can I get away with? I'm going to ask you the question. If all of your driving is what can I get away with, where's the rest of your life? Oh, that's just a compartment. I just compartmentalized that. That's nothing. Oh, my goodness. Why would he ask this? Why would he say this to us? Submit. What? You were talking about something completely different. Where did this come? Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. 68. Every praise to our God. That's what it feels like to me going down Highway 90. I'm not nervous. I'm not looking in the rear view. I'm just saying. It's the one area I have victory in my life, so I'm sharing. My kids say, Dad, speed up, speed up. My wife says, can I drive? It comes with age, I'm thinking. Verse 15, for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You know, there's a scripture that says, whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Do you know? Oh, I know you know. There's so much freedom in that. There's so much peace in that. There's a lot of stuff we have to do in our life we don't like. But if we can just, you know, do it as unto the Lord. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. Man, it just changes the whole dynamic of it. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. Are you at the same verse that I'm at? Sorry. Did I spin this thing? Submit yourselves. Okay. Verse 15. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, verse 17. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. That covers a broad area. Servants. We have any servants here? Be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy. If a man for conscience towards God endures grief, suffering wrongfully? Are you kidding me? In this century? Oh, I know this is dated material. Everything in our world screams against this. That anybody should suffer wrongfully. We better go back and read this. Maybe I read it wrong. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. wrongfully. A believer has to genuinely believe he sees it all. He sees it all. And again, I can have peace in my wrongful suffering. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not back. I inserted that word. Reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth rightfully. Righteously, sorry. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That's not the chatting of their wives. It's the life lived by either spouse. You have to embrace this as true, the truth. While they behold your chaste conversation, through the years, I've been present in meetings where prayer requests were given. Sweet little lady stands up, requests, y'all pray for my husband, that he be saved. Now pray for him. And year after year after year, we're praying. I remember we prayed for a lady's husband for 7 years. One day he showed up. He turned his heart to God. He started coming to church. I picked him up on the van, both of them. And she developed a sour look on her face. And I'm thinking, you've been praying for this for 7 years, and here he is, and now what's the matter? Well, he's cramping my style. While they behold your chaste conversation. What does that mean? What is a chaste conversation? What is chaste? Scholars? Google? What's chaste? Huh? Pure? Innocent, modest, guarded. What does that mean? Guarded, what do you mean? Careful, conscious. Okay. So, not a loose cannon, just blow it off. Bah, whatever. No. Whatever it is, the scripture says there's a power in our... Now, I know we use that word conversation as us talking and chatting and communicating, but also that word describes a lifestyle. The way you live, a chaste life, moderate life, whatever it is, the Bible describes a power in this that it has a direct impact upon your spouse. Okay. I want to go back and read that just one more time just to lead into the next sentence. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. There is an adorning in life that through lifestyle, it's one. I think one scripture describes it as a meek and quiet spirit. Of course, that is talking about a woman. But the way we live our lives, okay, whether we be man or women. Man or woman, male or female. The writer here begins to communicate about that let our adorning not be the outward. Now, our world is into outward everything. Yet that flies in the face with the Word of God. It is in conflict with the Word of God. There's a cry in the world that is all about self. Stand out, stick out, be bold. It's you, it's you. It's for you. Which of course is in contrast with what? You help me, huh? One more time. It's in contrast with God. Help me describe the contrast. If my life is living in opposite to what he's saying, let it not be that outward adorning. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning. What is the opposite? Okay, inward adorning. Okay, so has nothing to do with the outward then. Help me, Sister Pat. Modest. I'm telling you. So the first time somebody used that word with me in a church setting, modest. Do you want to hear the story? Some of you have heard. I was brand new. And they had a ball game. Softball in the Tri-Cities. Summertime. Hot. I had these pair of yellow shorts. And I got on the church bus to ride to the Tri-Cities. Nobody talked with me. I was brand new. What's wrong with these people? I thought they were supposed to be Christian. I still got long hair. Bright yellow shorts. T-shirt. Playing softball. You said we were playing softball today. Man, I got there. They were all dressed fully. Long jeans, collared shirts. Long. It's like 90 degrees out. We're in the Tri-Cities. I hit the ball. I ran and I had to slide into the base. Man, I had raspberries up my leg. The same guy that was preaching the night I got the Holy Ghost, man, he was like a god to me. He says he shouldn't have them shorts on. Nobody said nothing to me. Finally, I asked somebody, why is everybody acting so weird? Well, maybe it's your modesty. What? What does that mean? I never heard that word. And they were struggling to come out and say it. I got the drift. But that was the world I came from. The next time I got together with Rick Phillips to play tennis, he and I played tennis, number one doubles at the high school. I was in full sweats, 100 degrees. And so Rick's saying, man, why don't you take them sweats off? Oh, no, I'm good. Sweats running down my face. I'd had an encounter. Let me. This isn't about me here, but I want to give you a reference point. I was probably in the church 2 months, maybe 3 months. I don't know. The Lord had humbled me. Lost my job. My grandfather fired me. I mean, laid me off. And I couldn't get a job. And so I started losing things and I lost everything. Cars, motorcycles, jet skis. Had to move back in with Mom. Man, I resented that. But I was sitting at... I was at her apartment, and they had a swimming pool. I was down there laying on one of them lounge chairs, you know, getting a tan. And I don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden, there was something that came over me. And then I realized what that modest thing they were talking about. Because all at once, I had this feeling like, oh, my Lord. And I ran up the stairs, ran inside the door to my mother's apartment. But there was something that God was doing that didn't come from anybody's statements to me. It didn't come from anything I had read in the Word of God yet. But it was something from my Holy Ghost experience that nobody could ever take away from me. Now, the ball game thing, it didn't affect me. It didn't impact me. I kind of, you know, put it back on them. But as I yielded to God dealing with me, wow, that changed everything. Okay? Now, I have enough years under my belt. I've watched people, you know, try to change everything about everybody their first time in the door. Change is inevitable when we come out of a worldly lifestyle, a worldly atmosphere, when we submit ourselves to the Lord. We should expect change to happen. Well, I don't know what they are, when they are, or the way that they come, but there's change that'll come. All these stories. Believe it. I used to shoot pool, Jim's Tavern, Route 130, Bordentown, New Jersey. I was good. Had a 5-piece pool cue, man. I'd spin that thing all together. Once I started drinking, I was good. Loosened me up a little, you know. One time there was a bunch of bikers that came in. Man, we were all scared. Everybody in the place. The owner, he walks over to the wall and turns on the lights. 10 minutes, all the bikers left. It felt terrible in there. all them lights on like that. I don't know why. I wanted to leave. How crazy is that? The Bible says something about our deeds determine where we're comfortable and where we're not. And so because of the deeds of my lifestyle, I didn't like the light. The dark felt really good. Now, 2 years after, 2 or 3 years after getting the Holy Ghost, and I was asked to go and take an executive out to lunch down in the Tri-Cities, Welch's Grape Juice, general manager, and he picks the place. And we pull up to a bar. And I said, all I got is a credit card. Oh, it's okay, I'm buying, come on. And we walk into this bar, and I'm thinking, I don't know what to do. This guy's like this tall. Now, physical shouldn't intimidate me, but it was like standing next to Ron Chamberlain going into a bar. He's already gone through the door. What am I supposed to do? I just follow him in. It feels icky. What a contrast. Now, being in there in the subdued light, it feels icky to me. Before, that's what felt good. But no more. Oh, I got to tell you this. So, I'm out to lunch. I'm sitting at the table. They've got the food in front of me. So, what are you going to do, Larry? Are you going to pray over your food like you normally do? I kid you not. I'm sitting there. I'm looking at my food. And he says, should we pray? I'm glad for the change. I'm glad for the change that came. Where were we at? Verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning or the plaiting of the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. He likes that. I want to know the things that God likes. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham. Uh-oh, here it comes. Look out. Calling him Lord. Whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, when we read the Word of God, we know that there are things that are addressing specific things within societies and cultures of a time, but principles never change. We have to see the principle. We have to hear the principle and find the place of application in our own lives. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, giving honor unto the wife. There's a scratch in the record here. Giving honor to the wife. Just in case you didn't catch that. I keep losing my place. Oh, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. What? This affects my praying? I thought that's between me and God. Finally, Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue, or let her refrain her tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. January the 1st, fresh start. And who is he that will harm you? Oh, wait. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither to be troubled. I'm going to skip down past some of this. I'd like to go to Titus, chapter 2, verse 1, 5 verses. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men, the old guys, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Okay, so this gives me a target. If I haven't found it yet, here's some goals for me for now. To become these things, to seek to find these things in my life. Lord, show me the areas in my life that you would be pleased if I would be conscious of them and address them. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste. Uh-oh, here we go. Old-fashioned, backwards, keepers of the home. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The book of Psalms 29 and 2, want to read one verse. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Oh, I'll read one more. I'm going to skip several today. I'm going to read one more. Genesis 1 and 27. Which I alluded to in the very beginning. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I was in Union Gap this past weekend on Sunday. Because of some circumstances, my wife and I had to travel in two different cars. I was there early, and we had begun. I was on the far side, and I saw the door open back there through the little foyer, and in walks this radiant woman. Strikes me. Is it the way she did her hair? Is it what she chose to put on? Nah, that ain't it. What is it? What is it that just has struck me as she walked in the door and I watched her? We hadn't made eye contact yet. She came in and went around. I saw her looking at some things and making her way in where she might go and sit down. And I'm just standing there thinking, what is that? Brother Johnstone leans over to me and he says, why don't you have your wife? Why don't you call on your wife, have her say something? Okay. In the appropriate time, I call her up, give her the microphone. She just begins to speak. And there is a flow and an unction of the Holy Ghost that is touching every one of us. Now, I'm musing over this, and I'm going back, and I'm thinking, so, I told her when we got home, man, babe, when you walked into the building today, and she looks at me like I'm setting her up, I don't know what it was, but there was just something all over you. What do you mean? I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm still in awe. Now, listen. Let me tell you what I'm trying to describe to you. What I was seeing was not just of the natural eye. I see her every day. But I'm wondering, so I saw her sitting on the couch this morning. We had coffee, you know, in our robes. Who is this? Now, is it because she has the Holy Ghost? Well, she's had the Holy Ghost a long time. Again, we're around each other all the time. Is it, was it how she did her hair? I've seen that hairdo several times. I don't think that was it. But there's something registering in my spirit. Okay, now, the Bible speaks of the beauty of holiness, which encompasses all of those things. Their whole being. Our whole being. Now, the lady in the alley that I thought was a man, I didn't see that. She was a female. I'd finally determined that. And for whatever reason, I have this contrast. Now, everything in our world right now is trying to assault what God has created as male and female. And the world wants the males to become more female. And the females to become more male. To blur the lines. Completely. And then, I want to charge us, or anybody, for bringing up the difference. I'll tell you what I saw walk in that building the other day. I saw a holy woman, because of her life style, her chaste life style, her, yes, filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, separated from the world. Yes, it's who she is now. Now, I will say this. I asked my question while I'm standing there. What is all this? Because, see, I felt authority on her when she walked in the room. I don't feel that when she walks out of the kitchen. I love her. We're very social to each other. But I don't feel that or discern that when she walks out of the kitchen. And so I guess I've resolved or concluded in all of these things. She also has a place in the kingdom. She's the bishop's wife. In that setting, I'm the bishop. In that setting, she's the bishop's wife. And when she walked into the building, I saw all this authority on her. I saw all this holiness on her. Then it struck me. And I'm wondering what other people are saying. Well, there's nobody that's These things that we read in the Word of God, they have impact upon our lives. It's just not changing the way we do things, okay? The Bible speaks of the impact we can have on one another for the glory of God. Now I'll let you know that if when I see her tomorrow, I still see all that. There's moments. There's times. Okay? It was that experience, though, that led me to these places in the Word of God that I wanted to talk with you about and share with you about. Obviously, she's, well, I'm not going to say obviously, but she's not an angel. She's a human being. She has weaknesses and she has failures. So do I. And we... Okay. I stopped by the bank, BECU. And I'm trying to do something, and I need to put some money in one account to another account, and it's not logging into my phone, so I sit down. This lady comes, "Can I help you?" Well, I can help you right over here. So we're over there. Small conversation. And she's, she's looking at the computer screen. She's taking her glasses off, you know. She's looking back, and then she's taking her glasses off, and she says, "I hate glasses. I just started wearing them. I'm 49. Well, that says more than a lot to me in that moment. Okay? She doesn't like, it's not that she doesn't like the feel of the glasses on her face so much. She resents the fact she's now 49, coming up on 50. And maybe there's other things going on in her life, but, you know, it doesn't take much just observing. You can tell. She resents that she's aging. What I saw walk into the building the other day, I didn't see when my wife was 25. It came through the years of her walk, her life, and her experience in God that has developed to the place of what I saw. Okay? Now, you can't do that with outward adorning. You can't produce that with outward adorning. There was an old radio commentator years ago, Bible teacher, that I kind of liked listening to until one day he said, "If the barn needs painting, paint it." And he was talking about ladies. Here's what I feel like I want to express to you. You may have heard me tell, when I sit down with a young couple to talk about marriage, they're wanting to commit to marriage, I tell the guy to get a picture of grandma. Get a picture of grandma. You get a picture of grandpa. Because this is where this is all headed. Okay? And so as you commit to and as you fall in love with, I'm telling you there are deep things of an individual that you fall in love with. You don't fall in love with the shell. It pains me when I've observed men trying to get their 50-year-old wife to dress like a 30-year-old wife. And it becomes obvious to everybody around. It's like, wait, would you just let her become who she is and who she's supposed to be? The real. The real. Okay? I didn't expect to get into all this. If I'm doing anything, I'm hoping I'm helping. Okay? I've watched a lot of people in life who they're looking at the wrong things. They're looking for the wrong stuff. And so at some early point in life, they eject or they become dissatisfied in life. Would you pray with me right now? I want you to pray for your situation, your life, your situation. Help me to see, Father, what you see. Help me to see what you see, Lord Jesus. Help me to look into those things that you would have me to look into in the lives of individuals, in the lives of people. In the name of Jesus, let your love be made manifest, Father. In the name of Jesus, let your love be made manifest. I've known a few old guys whose spouse had a aneurysm or something that rendered their spouse very helpless. And I've watched them in their late years care for their spouse. Now, I know that, you know, it goes both ways. The ones that have come to my mind are men who wanted to be there and be the one to care for that spouse. Now through their difficult years. Not difficult for the one caring for them, because you can see the great example of love. But as a younger man, I remember observing this and asking myself the question, wow, I don't know if I could do that. Could I do that? Would the Lord ask me to do that? I don't know. But as I age, I have been careful in this one thing, to see in that individual the things that God sees that makes me love them so much. And to start doing the things in life that are caring. You know, some people, they just live their lives completely apart. I have to tell you, through the years, I've enjoyed watching Brother Dale Cool go fix a pipe and see Sister Cool handing him the pipe wrench. Every once in a while, I have to hear from my wife, I'm not Sister Cool. You know, when I'm saying, honey, I'm not Sister Cool. Okay. How many's observed, though, through the years? That's what she's done. Great example. But not everybody's Sister Cool. Can I just sum this up by saying there is a long road and a continued path of places and areas in our lives that if we will let God, especially through His Word, continue to shape, mold, change, I've observed people, you know, I don't know when they started doing this, you know, it became a thing, churches, signs, and they're, you know, their byline, come as you are. Well, every church feels that, come as you are. But they were trying to set themselves out as being different, giving the idea that what you don't realize is what you're thinking is, they'll let me come as I are and stay as I are. They're not going to expect me to change anything. And so that is an individual who wants to come in from the world and be like the world and stay like the world, but the Bible says the love of the Father's not in them. And so there's a continued path of change. Obviously, there's one goal in mind, for us to become more like Him. Amen. In all that we are and all that we do. Let's stand. Kaylee, would you mind coming and dismissing in prayer?
Thank you, Father, for your word. I pray, Father, that the truth of your word would change our hearts tonight. Father, that you would draw us close to your heart again. We repent before you, Father, for the things that we've made important, that the world has said are important. We ask, Father, that your blood would wash over us, that you would cleanse our spirits and our perspectives, Father, that our hearts would be in line with you, that we would stand before you, Father, wearing your robes of righteousness, Jesus, and that you would open up our eyes, that our vision and our perspective would be clear. I pray that you would remove the clouds and the questions from our minds, Father, that we would trust the stability of your word, Father, and the purpose of your word and your spirit, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Change our hearts, Father. Renew right spirits within us tonight, Jesus. I pray that as we leave, that you would minister to us in our homes, Father, that your word would breathe life into our homes. I pray, Jesus, that where we have steered away, that you would restore our steps, Father, walking in your purpose and in your plan. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.